Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationships Matter with Dr. Annie Abram. We will help you to understand your interactions with others so that you can create meaningful communications with the closest people in your life, as well as someone you meet fleetingly, such as a stranger on a bus. Join Dr. Annie Abram and expert guests for a deeper understanding of your relationships, how to make them better, and most importantly, how to make them matter. Please be advised that this show is not a substitute for psychotherapy. Tune in every Monday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Here is your host, Dr. Annie Abram.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Relationships Matter. We air every Monday at 12:30 to 1 Eastern Standard Time. Today, our guest is Anthony Crissy, who is the Executive Director of Triangle Community Center, the acronym TCC, in Norwalk, Connecticut. And he began this position in September 2013, actually being the first executive director full-time. So, Anthony, welcome, and thank you so much for coming on to my show today. I wonder if you can give us an understanding of what TCC does.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Abrams. I'm very happy to be joining your show today. So Triangle Community Center was founded in 1990 with the primary purpose of providing a safe space for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender questioning community here in Fairfield County. For the first 23 years of its existence, it provided that safe space for a multitude of programs to meet that served the community in different ways, including support groups, health and wellness groups, substance use recovery groups, youth groups, and social programs. So we still do that same thing today, only now we've developed direct services, including case management, where we use a number of tools to help our clients directly who need more assistance, including housing, financial assistance, and developing care plans to help them achieve their outcomes and reach a better place in life. So we do all of those services specifically targeting the LGBTQ community here in Fairfield County to address specific health disparities that still exist in our community. So hopefully that was the short description for you.
Yes. Well, that is actually a short description for a lot of what you do. I noticed that you have different activities, meetings going on every week, and that you have increased your membership greatly over the past few years. Is that correct?
Yes. So we're celebrating our 25th anniversary this year. And as I referenced before, for the first 23 years of our history here at Triangle Community Center, the organization was all volunteer. Mm-hmm. So in 2013, they were able to hire me as their first ever full-time staff person and first executive director. So that's really been a game changer for us. And now we're bringing on our fourth staff person in January, and we've grown quite a bit. We have a full-time social worker now. So because of that increased capacity, we're able to engage many more people. We're able to make sure that the LGBTQ people in need in Fairfield County know we exist and know what programs and services we offer, outreach has always been a challenge for us, but it's become increasingly easier and more efficient using things like social media and email and as well as doing larger special events that help engage our community.
And how do you differ from PFLAG?
That's a great question. So PFLAG is an organization that focuses specifically on offering programs for family members of LGBTQ mm-hmm. people. So we actually have a PFLAG chapter, PFLAG Hartford, that comes and offers a monthly support group here at TCC they actually do two groups here at TCC. They do one for parents and family members of transgender teens, as well as one for family members of lesbian, gay, and bisexual people. So we work in partnership with PFLAG, but we are the community center kind of serves as an umbrella organization for all to support all these different programs and services, and PFLAG is one of those programs and services that we support.
Can you tell me why there's a different support group for the parents of transgender children, kids, young people, and LGBT?
Yeah, that's another great question. So, you know, the transgender people specifically have their own set of unique needs. People also often hear the term LGBTQ, and it sounds like one very succinct and well-defined community, but the point that often escapes people is that those five letters stand for just five of the identities included in our community, and there are actually dozens of different identities represented by the term LGBTQ. So the term transgender actually refers to, again, many, many different unique individual identities, but specifically identities, specifically identities that relate to gender identity as opposed to sexual orientation. So we do make a distinction there that sexual orientation is independent of gender identity. So when someone comes out as transgender, they're coming out in regards to their gender identity. And that brings with it a very very distinct set of needs that differ from people who are coming out in regards to their sexual orientation.
And so do you feel that the parents of these two groups that we are categorizing for the moment, although I recognize that the whole identity, sexual and gender identity, is on a very wide spectrum, a much wider spectrum than we generally think of, I think. But I'm wondering how you understand the differences so that there would be a different group for parents for each.
Right. So, well, to give you an example, some of the things parents might discuss in the group that is specifically for parents of transgender teens is dealing with things like hormone therapy, dealing with how your child expresses their gender in school and whether their school is a safe place for that or an affirming place for that or not, and how to have those discussions with teachers and school administrators. To be honest, transgender teens and people are facing much higher rates of discrimination and stigma than their lesbian, gay, bisexual counterparts are today. So there's going to be a lot more discussion around instances of stigma and discrimination as well. So it's, you know, we find that in regards to our support groups, we have about 10 different support groups that meet here on a regular basis, and they're all targeted at very specific demographics within our community, because we find people, you know, get the best support and support they need when they are in a group of their peers who can really relate to the experience they're going through. And it's not that a lesbian or gay person can't relate to a transgender person, but it is not the same experience. So these support groups are very intimate, very personal, and we really do try and specifically target distinct demographics to make them really relevant to the experience that our clients are going through.
Well, my understanding is that lesbian and gays do have a history of not being as friendly as we might like with the transgender population. But that seems to be lessening now, and the lesbian and gay community is embracing the transgender community. Would you say that that's accurate?
To some degree, yes. Being lesbian, gay, bisexual does not make you an expert on LGBTQ issues, and it does not even necessarily mean that you're educated about the LGBTQ community or the issues we face. And the same thing is true for people who come out as transgender. you know, they are not always educated about the history of our community or their own health issues and disparities they may face in the future. So yes, absolutely, that is true, that stigma and discrimination towards the transgender community, or what we might refer to as transphobia, also exists within the LGBT community. You know, I'd like to think that it exists at a lower percentage than it does in the greater population. But I can't factually support that. But I do believe that as transphobia has hopefully gotten slightly better in the majority of the country because of the visibility the transgender community has had in the recent years, that is also true for transphobia within the LGBT community.
Right. Well, there certainly has been a lot of press, a lot of attention in general to the transgender community. And it's been my experience very recently that school systems are developing policies regarding transgender kids. Basically, I know that some school districts offer bathrooms to transgender kids, which are neutral, or the child gets to choose which bathroom he or she would like to go to, which is such incredible progress in what feels like such a short period of time. It seems as if the transgender community is moving along politically and policy-wise much more quickly than I remember the gay and lesbian community. Would you say that that's accurate?
Yes and no. I don't want to say it's entirely accurate, because the reality is that there's still only a handful of states in our country that do protect transgender people from hate crimes and stigma and discrimination.
Right.
From housing discrimination, social services. And so, you know, and violent attacks on the transgender community have actually increased in the last year by 14%. While they've decreased for the lesbian, gay, and bisexual community. So part of that increased visibility, unfortunately, is a backlash as well from the greater population. And so, you know, hopefully we will see a much stronger push for legislation that protects our transgender community. But, you know, it has not happened yet everywhere as it should be. We do have a great transgender non-discrimination policy here in Connecticut, but implementation is key. And I know just this year they've changed the policy to make it easier for transgender people to change their gender marker on their birth certificate, as well as implementing new policies for insurance companies so that they have to cover transgender-related health care. And I do also want to just elaborate on the last question, which is that, you know, while transphobia exists in the LGBT community, there are a lot of great organizations, including Triangle Community Center, that have been trans-inclusive, you know, since we were founded. And our Triangle Transgender Society is one of our oldest programs that has been meeting here for over a decade. So, in the transgender
community, you were really a pioneer, right?
Well, I can't take credit for that myself, but our organization, yes, I'm proud to say that we have been trans inclusive for a long time before it was a hot social issue. Because, you know, obviously it's important. Transgender people were the ones on the front lines of the Stonewall riots, and which a lot of people may not realize. It was not the gay and lesbian community who started the riot at Stonewall. It was the transgender patrons of the bar who were there that night. And yes, there was gay and lesbian people there as well that joined in. But heroes like Sylvia Rivera, who's a very well-known trans advocate, hero, incredible icon for our community, was at the Stonewall riots. 1969 was a part of starting our movement. And so it's not just this new marriage between the transgender community and the lesbian, gay, bisexual community. It's something that's written into our history. And mm-hmm. I think at times the transgender community has been left behind mm-hmm. by advocacy organizations who wanted to pass legislation and knew they might have a harder time if they included the
right.
transgender community in that legislation, which unfortunately was a decision that was made time and time again. But I think I'm very optimistic that that is no longer going to be the case with our advocacy within the LGBTQ community.
Mm-hmm. And do you find that the parent groups that meet at TCC in terms of the group that meets the transgender group and the lesbian and gay group, do you find that they are supportive of one another, or are their concerns so different that they don't really mix that much?
You know, to be honest, I don't really know of any interaction between those two groups. I'm sure there is some.
Right.
I don't personally attend both groups, but I don't really think there's a distinction between those two communities as much as it may sound because we have two distinct groups. You know, our support groups are one thing, but that's why we do so much social programming as well. When we do social programming, it is for everyone. It's for every demographic, mm-hmm. no matter what group you fall into. And we never separate out what specific demographic a social program is for. You know, it's really just in our support groups because they're, again, very personal, intimate discussions that we try to separate them out by demographic. But, you know, our social programming, when we do Pride in the Park, which is every June, you know, we had 2,000 people there, and there was people from every walk of life.
Wow, where was this?
This was in Norwalk at Matthews
uh-huh.
Park.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think parents of lesbian, gay, bisexual children can absolutely relate to parents of transgender children and be supportive of them, especially parents of lesbian, gay, bisexual children who were growing up, you know, 20 or 30 years ago. When
yeah.
there was still much higher amounts of stigma and discrimination towards the lesbian, gay, bisexual population. You know, that's this, similar to the discrimination that the transgender population is still facing today. So there's absolutely some overlap there.
There's absolutely what?
Some overlap between those two groups.
Right. Well, I mean, to be discriminated against, you know, for whatever reason, certainly has its roots in the same psychological understructure, I think. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. people discriminate against others because they're afraid of them, because they have no idea as to who they are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's really not a rational act, shall we say. I mean, people have
right.
their different reasons for discriminating, but I would say that, you know, basically, bottom line, discrimination comes from fear of not understanding of, you know, not knowing the other, not wanting to know the other, et cetera. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems as if, you know, your organization as well as other organizations who deal with the LGBTQ community, you know, basically have to deal with discrimination in all of its forms. I mean, I noticed that your background includes working with a Jewish population, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, I mean, there are, you know, those who discriminate against Jews, and I don't think that they're underlying psychological reasons are very different than those who discriminate against transgender or lesbian, gay, bisexual people. Would you agree with
right.
that?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, stigma and discrimination come from, as you point out, the idea of the other. And the other is created when we don't understand a population or a demographic, and when we don't personally know someone who identifies with that population and demographic. You know, something Harvey Milk really advocated for at his time in the LGBTQ movement was people coming out, because the statistics show that support for LGBTQ rights significantly increases, despite someone's religious views or political views, when they know one of their loved ones identifies as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. So, mm-hmm. you know, many people who do even today do not support LGBTQ rights may not realize that one of their loved ones is actually LGBTQ. And when they do learn that, it challenges them to no longer categorize the LGBTQ community as the other, because they know one of us and they love one of us, and they know that person is not a bad person, as they may have been vilified by a political agenda or some news story or coverage mm-hmm. in the media, which so often happens to minority groups.
Yes. But I think one of the problems is that people don't get that kind of exposure as often as one would like. I mean, you know, in families where being bisexual, gay, lesbian, transgender is very much discriminated against, the likelihood of such an adolescent, young person, older person coming out is much lesser than if there's a family who could, you know, support this individual person.
Right. Well, you know, it's important to realize, too, that there are many different phases of coming out, and no LGBTQ person ever finishes coming out. You know, I've been out for 10 years, and, you know, I still meet people who are strangers and may not know who I am. And sometimes I have to say, oh, yeah, yes, my name is Anthony. And by the way, my sexual orientation is gay. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not usually how I introduce myself, but when the question arises. So, you know, even 10 years later, I am still in the process of coming out. And that's something we all deal with. So when an LGBTQ person, you know, begins the coming out process, that's why our support groups are key, because they may not be out to anyone else in their life, but they can come here and they can come to one of our support groups, and they can build a network of peers, and they can be out to those peers and find affirmation and validation and support, which is really important, because they may not find that from immediately. They may not find that from everyone in their lives. You know, when they do come out to their loved ones, whether they're supportive or not, education and visibility over time, mm-hmm. we know it does make a difference. And even if a loved one is not supportive immediately, the chances of them coming around and being supportive later in that person's life are much greater than if they had not come out to them, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's very encouraging. I mean, I see families and parents of people who are really, really struggling with their child's identity, either sexual orientation or gender identity. And initially, you know, very frequently, it's absolutely devastating to a parent. And it really seems to take a lot of time and, as you say, a lot of education in helping that person understand that, first of all, it's not their decision what their child is or isn't. And very frequently, I think one sees a rather enmeshed system where the child, the adolescent, whomever, however old, is enmeshed in the family in a way that is not healthy, meaning that there's some dynamic about the child separating from the parents, even without the additional problem of gender or sexual orientation and or identity. And so you have to deal with that, or one has to make inquiries about that before you can even begin to talk about sexual orientation, gender identity. So I think it's a very, very complicated process for many, 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 many parents, because all of people, I think, as parents, or most people that I know of, do have some kind of difficulty in allowing their child to separate and supporting their child to separate. And I don't mean this on a surface basis, but, you know, a deeper basis. You know, my child goes out into the world, and where am I in that relationship? You know, how do I fit in? How, not only how do I fit in, what is my role? And then, you know, on another level, and I think this is often unconscious, is, you know, how can my child do this to me, to separate, right? And
well, I
so
think
it's very complicated.
Oh, it absolutely is. And I think, you know, one of the things you're referring to is that parents, you know, when their child is growing up, often have a vision and a dream of what they want for their child and what their child's life will be like and how they will participate in that as they grow older. Whether it's getting married, having children, having a white picket fence somewhere in Fairfield County, which is amazing. And I think it's a challenging thing for many parents when their child comes out as LGBTQ is understanding that their vision, dream for their child is not going to be exactly as they thought it would be. You know, thankfully, that is not, you know, uncommon now for LGBTQ people to become married, as we now have marriage equality nationally, and to have children, and to have a white picket fence somewhere here in Fairfield County. So that all of that can still be true, only, you know, their partner is of the same sex as they are. And so, but so I think, you know, parents, but you know, what you're alluding to is that it's not necessarily an LGBTQ issue. Yes, LGBTQ identity plays into that, but it's the same sense of loss a parent might have when they realize their child is not going to Harvard Law School. You know, it's just a different, it's just coming to terms with their child's unique identity and realizing that may not have been what they had envisioned for them. And, you know,
absolutely.
I think separation, as you also point out, can come from so many, you know, there, any LGBTQ person is also dealing with an array of other issues and health disparities that exist in our community, such as mental health illness, substance use, isolation, which are all often the product of or the consequence of stigma and discrimination. But so, you know, all, they're usually dealing with a complex set of challenges, and that may absolutely play into their relationships, especially with their family, and especially if they feel as though their family is accepting but not affirming of their identity. If the family is, you know, trying to become educated but hasn't come around to being fully inclusive of that person's identity and embracing it, you know, it can definitely be a hurtful process for the child, and can create some spuds. Definitely something we would hope that over time heals.
Well, it certainly feels as if it's a, you know, a lifelong process, as you point out. You know, that there are times you do have to say, hello, you know, my name is Tom, and, you know, by the way, I'm gay, right? And so it's not as if it ever goes away.
Right. No, absolutely. You know, I know people who are well into their 50s and have been out for decades who, you know, their parents have never attended an LGBTQ event before and have never fully expressed that they were supportive of their identity and affirming of their identity before. And, you know, so it's something people, LGBTQ people, they could be out to everyone in their life, but there may be just one person who was really a key part of their life growing up who they're just not as close with anymore because of their identity. That is something that, you know, they want to heal and they want to make process on over
mm-hmm.
time. So yeah, that journey of coming out and of living your life authentically and openly as an LGBTQ person is a lifelong journey. And that's why, you know, we offer groups for older adults now as well, people who are going into assisted living situations or or senior centers or whatever it might be. We offer programs directed specifically at older adults because they are dealing with their own issues around being LGBTQ, such as not being supported by nursing staff or administration or their peers who are of a different generation and were not raised to be affirming of LGBTQ people as children are today.
So it just goes on and on and on and on. You know, I imagine that for some people it's just so overwhelming. I think it would be horrible to be in your 70s and planning to go into assisted living and having to deal with discrimination at that period in your life.
Oh, absolutely. And that's something that many community centers, including Triangle Community Center, are very focused on. And, you know, it's something that I think, again, we're optimistic that as long as we continue to do advocacy and be visible and educate our community, that will improve over time. But it's absolutely a challenge right now in this day and age
right.
is for our LGBTQ older adults who sometimes feel the need to go back into the closet after they've lived openly for decades because they're unsure of whether their assisted living facility will be a safe place for them.
Right. And whether their needs will be met, you know, it's
right.
It's just really an upsetting and challenging situation. I mean, I wonder, I have no idea if there's any training for such facilities. The staff
oh, absolutely.
For assisted
absolutely.
Living.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, I was going to say the Norwalk Senior Center is actually, as well as the Stanford Senior Center, have both been very proactive about seeking that training. And SAGE is actually a national organization that advocates on behalf of LGBTQ older adults. And they, I actually recently attended a training.
What's the
SAGE,
acronym?
SAGE, it's S-A-G-E. It stands for, I'm putting me on the spot here, but
SAGE is pretty amazing. It's a great acronym, right? Wise old
yeah.
person.
Right.
Yeah.
And I believe it stands for Services and Advocacy for Gay Elders, but that's been expanded to include LGBTQ elders. So Services and Advocacy for GLBT Elders. They're a national organization. They're based out of New York City. And they will go around the country doing those trainings at senior centers and assisted living facilities. They did one recently at the Norwalk Senior Center that was very well attended.
Mm-hmm. You know, Anthony, our time is up, but you are such a wealth of information and support to your community in Fairfield County. I mean, I think it's so amazing that you are offering as many kinds of groups and activities as you are. And I really applaud you for that and congratulate you for being the first executive director. And thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Abrams. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. So let's stay in touch.
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. You are listening to Ask Dr. Annie Abram, a show about mindful parenting and social justice concerns. We air every Monday at 12:30 to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you would like to get in touch with me, my email is Abram, A B as in boy, R-A-M, at gmail.com. I neglected to ask our guest about what his contact information is, but I know that you can reach him at the Triangle Community Center in Norwalk, Connecticut, and that is www.ctgay.org. So thank you so much for listening, and please let me know if you have any questions. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.